is Tuesday, October 15th at 6:03 p.m. We are meeting at the Sabrina's Community Center. Only thing on our agenda for work session is discussion on our regular agenda items. So, Chandler, where would you like to start?
We'll start legal.
That works.
I had spoken with Joel, and he had said that he was going to recuse himself, so I apologize to you, Mr. Stafford. I hope you all had a chance to look at the RFP responses we got. We got 7 of them. I think we got some really good options. Did everyone get the kind of analysis and financial breakdown that I sent out?
It looks like this.
I'm not putting it up on the screen because I'm not making it public. So
wait,
so
did you email it?
I did email it.
Oh my gosh.
So some of the bids came back based on a monthly retainer, and some of them came back with an hourly rate. So in order to kind of normalize those and make sure that everyone were comparing apples to apples, I went back to the Kurt McConkey invoices and took that monthly hours that were spent under the retainer and kind of did a what if situation showing what each would have cost. The only thing as I'm thinking about it that I didn't show would be in Kurt McConkey, they do show an annual increase, but it's based on whatever is granted to staff, so that's kind of an unknown. But in the analysis, it shows both years being the same because they're a retainer, but in actual, I think that could be an increase here too.
Which we can say is that you'd be around 3-4%. That's
about it. We can estimate 3-4% for a typical year. So based on that, we just went through each of the bids. And kind of the cost is an easy thing to compare. The experience is a little bit more difficult. If I were to talk about these, the two biggest items that need to be evaluated are the cost, balancing that with the experience, right? And the way that I see it, you've got some really good firms that have really strong experience, and some other firms I feel like have maybe more limited experience, but still some experience. How in depth do you want me to get in this right now?
Well, Mike's not here, so I hope he gets here.
Okay.
I mean, do you want to?
Did
everybody get a chance to read through the RFPs?
Then maybe let's talk about the process. How about that?
Talk about the process, and maybe if the council has any questions on.
Okay. One of the firms reached out to Mayor Reese and expressed some concern with the process and how we did it in the previous go-around in 2015. They were a little bit apprehensive about, as my understanding correctly, they were a little apprehensive about the face-to-face interaction where other firms could be present and listening to other firms' presentation or answer questions. I don't recall that any firm stayed in the room last time. I believe that they all left there because there wasn't a face-to-face with the council and the applicant with the others in the room. I don't recall
that. There,
I think as a professional courtesy, there were some mistakes. Okay, I just don't want to remember that. So they expressed some apprehension about that, how there is that possibility, since it's a public open meeting, that others could stay in the room, listen to responses. I don't know if it's a game and unfair advantage by going later and listening to what others had said or just going to questions beforehand. So they expressed some concerns about that process. They shared an idea that we could do it over the phone. That is an option. However, the big problem here is logistically plugging the phone in. There's not a place to exit right there than getting their work. But it's still, nonetheless, it's still a public meeting. They said, you know what, I don't want to be up front. I'd rather be there in person. They could still show up and do that interface in person and then still sit through the call. So I don't believe that presents a complete solution there. Does the council have any feelings on how they want to proceed on evaluating these? We have 7 bids. I would prefer to narrow it down to 4, maybe 5. I don't think it's necessary to interview all 7, but if we'd like to, we can. I just don't feel like that's necessary.
So I'm just going to ask that. I agree. I think 4. So let's have this on.
Hello?
I guess it's fine. I think 4 is probably good because those interviews are lengthy. I don't remember who was here, but that's how we did that. Those interviews are lengthy. And so if we can narrow it down to 4 tonight, to invite back to present to the council, I think that would be great. But in addition to, so this law firm that reached out to me and expressed some concern on how it was done last time, it's my understanding that everybody who has bid this time did not bid last time. So everybody who bid last time did not submit a bid this time. So I don't know if that's why. Maybe that's why they felt like the way we did it was uncomfortable for them. Anyway.
Except for Kern Hockey,
yes. So, Chairman, I talked a little bit. We could ask, we could say it's a professional courtesy, we would ask you to please leave, but we can't force that. And I can't think of another way to get around it, because from my understanding, this is a decision we have to make in a public meeting. But if you guys have any great ideas, the firm that reached out to me recommended that, yeah, we just have them each call in. But like Chandler said, some can still
send a representative, or so. I mean, and they can get them minutes later from, you know.
Sure. I don't know if they felt like they would feel less uncomfortable if they couldn't see the other attorneys. Basically, I don't know. I'm just letting you know their concern. In fact, this particular, I'm not sure it's with you, Chandler, but this particular law firm said that if they were going to do it the way we did last time, then they didn't know what they would be interested in proceeding. So they had some.
Do we know how other cities have done this in the past?
I don't. I think it's professional services. You don't have to do an interview at all. If you're comfortable making a selection based on the information provided right now, then you can. I have a lot of apprehension about that. I would rather have some interface with them. So, I mean, there's a number of ways you can do it. If you feel like you'd rather select a committee amongst yourselves to do the interviews in an offline meeting where it's just the mayor, maybe two council members and myself, maybe staff member or two, having those conversations and then submitting those findings, I think that's a way forward. It makes it a private meeting, but it also precludes a number of you from being there. So there's a pro and con there.
Like, what we're talking about is I had one of the law firms reach out to me and express a concern with how we select our attorneys. They did not like the process last time of coming to the meeting when the other firms were present to show or to present their bids. So,
I remember that.
Yeah. And so this particular firm that reached out to me expressed concern and indicated that if we were going to proceed that way, they may not be interested. So we're just talking about potential other ways that we could do it if the council is interested in.
I'm fine with the subcommittee idea. I try to think of how much will get bid from the actual interview with everybody here, and I don't know. I don't know if I have any questions from what I've read. So yeah, I would support doing this idea.
Thank you,
Ryan.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good way to go.
Okay. I will support what you guys have done. 100%.
Are you down to what, 3 weeks?
I got two more after tonight. So,
nobody's counting. But
whatever you guys need help with, I got another month and 2 months and a half. So I have a roadblock. There are no roadblocks.
He's just going to start voting on everything.
No, yes, no. Whatever you get now. However, two of you decide one thing and two of you decide the other one.
Then you're wrong.
But, yeah, then I won't be happy. But I don't
think it's happy. If the council really feels like they want to be there, I'm happy to schedule dual meetings where we run through it twice. I mean,
that's
a lot of time, but I mean, if it's.
I don't think that's necessary.
Well, and there's no urgency to make the decision. Let's take our time and do it right.
Yes. So tell me, who would be interested in being on that subcommittee?
Will there be several subcommittees or no? It would just be one.
Me, two council members, Chandler, and some staff.
Two council members without being public opinion.
I have a very flexible schedule, so.
Yeah, I don't have a flexible schedule, so I can say.
I'd be interested in doing it.
I like Brian.
If
there's an LA or something, I'm happy to schedule the times that work too.
Yeah.
And we can be flexible.
Yeah.
I mean, it can just be maybe carved out one flexible night where it's from 5:30 to 7:30. I don't know.
Yeah.
So
I'm taking your time on this.
No, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
There could be some workday times that would work.
I mean, we can schedule it at the end of the day if that's easier for our schedule.
So would the council be comfortable with Denise and Brian?
We can alternate Mike and I, if you're comfortable with that. So.
Let's put on Denise and Brian, and then Denise can be here, Mike will go.
All right, then. So I think that really sets forth a way forward that I think that the firms would be comfortable with.
But council, if you have any questions that you would like the committee to ask, please just, you know, let us know as well, we're sure we'll ask.
Yeah, so it, this time, this go around, I think, is a little bit different than last time. Last time we went through this, there was a number of big issues kind of looming over the city. And in the last few years, those have been resolved. I mean, there's still issues that we're dealing with, but I think on the scale of things, they're much, much smaller.
It's a lot more procedural and administrative type stuff.
Well, it is. I mean, there's still a couple claims that are outstanding that, you know, we were waiting for, but they weren't nearly on the scale of last quarter.
Well, I remember we had a big issue with everyone about sovereign citizen and that kind of stuff. I was asked everyone to speak.
And yeah, that's a good point, because that hasn't really, that's calmed down.
Well, the Blue Line project was a big one.
Blue Line, oh, yeah, was the cross connection with settlement. There's been a few. But like I said, we've done a good job. Kirk Clark has been great to navigate through those, but I think the time is. Anytime anyone asks for a healthy increase like that, I think you have to look at it. So I think this is a healthy operation. With that being said, going through any of those bids, are any questions specifically related to any of the bids before I get into it? If you want me to get into it, you want me to wait until a meeting? I mean, how do you want me to do this right now? I'm going to give you my opinion of what I've seen. I'm happy to share that.
Well, I mean, obviously we can't afford Curtin and Hoffman anymore. I mean, am I wrong? It's just...
They're definitely the highest.
Yeah, and you always look at the highest and the lowest when you wonder...
Yeah. Well, let's, you know, before we get into that level of detail, if I were going to go through each bid, I would say that Curtin and Hoffman has the strongest experience just having worked with us for the last 3 years. I think that's the best experience. However, contrast that with the highest cost. So that experience comes at a very big cost. On the Jones Waldo group, I have them as they're one of the higher costs. And I kind of have been moderate on the experience compared to some of the other firms that they don't respond to. Harvard and Associates, I also have them on very moderate experience. However, they are the best cost going forward. They're impressed with their experience, but accurate experience. Strong Handy, I feel like they have limited experience, but same moderate cost. And then Cowbell Woolley, I feel like they also have very strong experience and great price. The second lowest. And then the final firm was BTJD. They also have very strong experience, but they come with higher costs as well. Higher costs. So that's a brief overview. If you want to get into any experience with the firms, I'm happy to kind of dive in and kind of share what I've seen, those RFQs.
I know Kurt McConkie has the most experience with us.
Right. That's why I rated it that
way.
How about Willie also
had
a very good experience?
JD both had considerable municipal experience as well as special service districts, counties.
Correct. My only retort to that would be that just the experience dealing with us was probably the best experience compared to our experience. But you're right in that they have a breadth of experience with other public entities. So that's the nice thing is that I think that there are really good firms that bid that are very qualified.
Yeah, so some of these are pretty well known firms. Obviously, Curtin & Hoffman, John Waldo, Strong & Canny, Calvado Woolley. I've had experiences professionally with them. I would, looking at the Strong and Canny, the attorney that they indicate. That would essentially be handling the matters primarily is not experienced in municipal. They're a former public defender that joined the firm this year. And so if that was the attorney that would be our contact point, I think that would not be ideal. Because it's strike against strong mechanic.
In my review, when they indicated a personnel that would be assigned to the city, I was looking at that person's experience. Even though the firm as a whole may have.
It's a huge firm.
Yeah. And I'm sure that they have resources available, but.
Yeah, and you know.
You hate to get shuffled around the firm to get an answer, is what I'm saying.
Another comment I wanted to make was Jones Waldo, I believe Camille Newman, that would be the attorney. So she's her husband's my former boss, the former Utah County attorney. And my legal secretary used to work for Camille Newman. Things that she's very good at, actually does inside. I really will work for her still. I've met Camille once. But one something that was very interesting to me is that she's apparently counseling American Fork. And she is counseling them on their broadband. And we're kind of in the position of watch and see with American Fork how it goes and what issues they come up with. So that is a big positive. Again, it's one of the more expensive ones, but that's a big positive. That's a route that we'll go. We can tap that experience and use and do it.
That's starting it.
So I just want to point that out because that might be one of the potential big projects in the future.
Agreed. Yeah, so the four that I liked were JP Cato, Kurt LaCompi, and Joan Baldwin.
Who is BTJ?
Craig Call, which I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's his father.
Okay.
So I looked into it because I was curious if it was representative.
Who's Craig Hall? Who's
State Representative Craig Hall. They're both Craig Hall. They both went to Baylor Law. One went about 20 years before the other one. So I think
When the North Point came and presented, they brought their attorney to present as well. They will announce Craig Hall.
So he represented North Point on the NUERA project, I believe, and they also present Murray, South Salt Lake, Woodville, and Holiday,
yes.
In addition to a few counties. But I don't remember what the name is.
That's kind of the extent.
Last names, but I don't remember what.
Extent Caldwell Woolley, I know that a lot of their firm has a big focus on contract prosecution. So I can't recall which attorney would be handling municipal matters. But
they had it as the primary contact would be Chad Woolley.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And obviously the name partner is probably one of the more experienced.
And they represent right now Providence, Petersville, Ephraim, and Dow County. But they also do prosecution.
Yeah, a lot of prosecution.
That few firms asked that question. That's not involved prosecution at all, so that's outside the box.
But it's nice to have somebody with that insight.
It is, yeah. No, we've had issues where we've had to call our attorney regarding an issue with prosecution. I think we're kind of in a settled spot there where we've answered enough questions there. I did think that Caldo Lilly had a number of really good, quite a bit of experience that I really like. And in their page 3 of their bid, they list some of their experience in making contracts, open meetings, government grants, city projects, real property, admin, legal, request for information, which is what we don't get, public records, land use, condemnation. These are all things that we could possibly face. I think they have a good breadth of experience as a question for the bid.
I don't remember if it was one of them just got some kind of certification, cyber security certification through the Department of Homeland Security. Yeah.
So, the way you did the spreadsheet, can you explain that to me?
Yeah, so the spreadsheet I sent out, like I said,
the hours up here,
it's on the Kurt LaCompi bill, right. Even though it's under a retainer, they still show how many hours they worked under that.
Right.
And I will say that my brief analysis of this really shows that it might also depend on who your appointed attorney is. I think Joel has done a very good job of being very involved in a lot of things in the city. He's done a great job of servicing the city. He's put in more hours than Dave Shaw.
So if you look at that red line,
that's Dave Shaw's last month.
So you look at the number of hours that Dave Shaw billed for Lane and Joel after. Wow.
So the 1 month is April, and it shows like 9 hours, but it's...
But it's hard to say whether that's hours actually worked or hours they just want this, you know what I mean? Dave Shaw could have been just more generous with it.
It really depends on their record keeping too. Under a retainer, they may just feel like, yeah, I'll show some hours but not everything. So I'm going on the only information I have.
Yeah. Well, I do feel like Joel was more engaged with us.
Joel has been very engaged. I'll give that to Joel, is that he's very responsive when the issues come up. Yeah. And that has been very helpful.
Right. Let's think about it. I mean, Herbert Conkins has done a great job, so they need to be commended. I mean, look at what we settled in the last 6 years. We've settled
Rosegate.
We've settled all the cross connection stuff. I mean, we've literally almost cleared everything off our plate that's been around for years.
Yeah.
Some of that even predated me.
Yeah.
I
think we've definitely been fortunate that, at least as long as I've been working with the city, I think we've always had good legal counsel that's been helpful and knowledgeable and accommodating us to that. I think the bigger question for us is, for a city of our size, especially if we're looking at budgeting into the future, what can we afford to do?
Yeah.
And also want an annual increase equivalent to what we give our employees. So we're looking at 3-4% increase every year.
The fiscal 18 and 19. Is that what they actually billed then?
That's under their retainer. That's what we paid under their retainer.
Oh, that was their retainer.
And so then you see the next column is proposed, and that is what we would be paying them at the current rate. And that doesn't show a rate increase. So then some firms bid based on a monthly retainer, some firms bid based on an hourly rate because they didn't know the hours they were spending. This is an attempt to try to normalize it so you can see the same value across all bids.
I just want to add one more thing too. We as a council always have the option that if we had a city attorney that we felt a litigation matter came for us, that our city attorney, for whatever reason, felt like they couldn't handle what we felt like they couldn't handle, we could always hire a separate litigation attorney. We've done that in the past. And so if we felt like we really needed more than Joel on a litigation issue, we could always contact that in an hourly rate. Because we pay hourly to them, to any of these law firms for litigation, no matter what. It's never part of it.
Yes. Right? So any contract we sign with any firm would be not exclusive, meaning we can reach out to other firms as well.
Yeah, so that's all.
So I guess we kind of touched this as a high level. We're not going to make a decision right now on what firms we want to narrow down to, but we'll ask in the next meeting. That we do narrow that down.
The council meeting?
Council meeting like in 40 minutes.
That's what I thought. Okay, pretty sure.
So,
does that remind you, Jenny?
My floors were BT, JD, Cowden Hooley, Kurt McConkey, and Jones Waldo. I think Chandler gave 5 that he liked. I gave 4 that I liked.
So should we agree to only meet with these four? Right?
That's what we're trying to do.
Who was your pick?
I think it was
I think you're right. Somebody's going to start seeing the same thing.
Yeah.
So yes, I just asked a question. Then why? I mean, you met with them, but the very cheap list, which was Harvard's, which is why would you do it now?
They have very limited experience. Very moderate experience. And I say that compared to the other bids. They could be experienced more than they're letting on to here, but it's based on what I'm reading these bids.
Okay, so which of these bids was based on hours and which was based on retainer?
Good question. Kurt McConkey, Jones Waldo, Howard and Associates, and Caldo Woodley were all based on retainer.
Okay.
Hayes Godfrey, Strong Hemi, and BTJD were based on an hourly rate.
Okay.
And in a couple of them, they indicated
that. Could we say?
You can, I think you can make that arrangement. So these hours here include, we can cut these down, really. These include attending city council meetings, attending planning commission meetings, attending the mayor and I's weekly meeting. I think there's hours that if the city were going to go with a bid that were one of these bids that get on an hourly rate, there's hours that can be blocked off as the.
Well, another important thing would be like where they live. I mean, you're going to spend some of this bid, you're going to pay extra 4 hours of travel time.
I think Kyle Woolley did charge
extra for the travel. They're saying.
There were a few that didn't have an extra fee.
Yeah, they're saying regular travel time, no charge, supplies, no charge.
Is that kind of what we're doing?
That's kind of what
we're doing.
So just kind of reiterating what we talked about in the last council meeting, we had the discussion about the budget, right? And the operational deficit that we're looking at closing, how to close in the next year, right? That's in the next year. So this is part of that discussion because we funded it for this fiscal year, but next fiscal year, the decision has ramifications on what we do in the budget next year.
Yeah. And just the difference between Kirk McConkey, which is the highest retainer, and Joe Waldo's second highest, ends up being about $23,000 less per annum.
Yes. Any other questions I can answer on this?
Okay, so let's get the subcommittee.
Let's form that in the next
meeting. Find out what staff that you want to have for the show. And then if you just want to reach out when the council decides the next meeting, in whatever
part. I don't want to be accused of making decisions.
No. In the next meeting, we'll get those scheduled and then we'll let you guys know the dates. And then after we meet, I'll just reach out to the ones who aren't on subcommittee, letting you know how it went.
And I do want to reiterate what Eric is saying. If there's concerns, if there's questions you want answered, I think please submit those to the subcommittee. Is there an item that anyone is just dying to talk about before I jump in?
Do you want to talk about, well, that's a fast one, but important one.
Well, then, okay. So 2 weeks ago, the Utah Department of Health issued a surprise order one morning stating that all the flavor vaping products would have to be, they gave each vendor like 6 days, these were non-tobacco specialty retail businesses, they gave them 6 days to pull those off their shelves. So we took that notice and we dropped that off notice off to Walmart and Harts. The code that we have is 10539. This is related to tobacco sales, tobacco paraphernalia, tobacco specialty retail businesses. And the mayor is going to tighten this code up quite a bit so that really, should one of our existing stores want to retrofit or something, become a tobacco specialty business, because so much of their sales are from vaping products. If you walk in the Harts, you can see it behind the counter, you can see that they have quite a bit of product. One of the criteria for becoming a retail tobacco specialty business is it's a 4 under state code. Have it here on the screen, pull it up. But it says it's right here under 4. If you can read that on the light, it says it's, sorry, not under 4. It's under E here. It says retail tobacco. I'll read it out loud. It says retail tobacco specialty business means a commercial establishment in which, and it talked the first three bullet points talk about the sale of tobacco products, but the third one ends with or, and then the fourth one says the retail space features a self-service display for tobacco products. So where our current, let's use parts as an example, they're all their product is behind the counter. It's not self-service. What if they say, okay, we'll just go out around the corner and make it self-service? But we don't want to really give them the option of having a tobacco specialty business in that regard. Even though I believe that Harts is too close to homes, we just want to tighten up this code. And so we wanted to get it on the agenda so that we can get ahead of any possible issues. But this will go to the planning commission this month. This month?
Yes.
And then probably back to the city council next month, where we add in an exception not allowing for subsidies to tobacco products.
So that definition is actually the state's definition. We just pulled it from them. If you scroll down a little bit, it's where we actually say not for, there's like a one sentence I got on to that. Anyway, basically, we say that we are not going to issue
it. Is it number two, the regulation of retail tobacco? That's what gives us the power.
No, the power that where we say we're not going to. So we define it, but then we go in and say.
This is state code.
Oh, you're a state code. Oh,
yeah, sorry. I can look at
sorry.
Our code.
So our code says something to the effect that we will not issue a license to a tobacco specialty store, and we're just going to tie that up and say we're not going to issue a tobacco specialty license to anyone.
So it says the city shall not issue a tobacco sales
or percentage.
Or, it says or. So it can be a certain percentage or 20% of their floor space is allocated to it or the retail space features a self-service display.
Mayor, you wanted to change that because right now ours says the city shall not issue tobacco sales business licenses for the operation of retail tobacco, especially businesses or vape shops.
Yes, and instead we're just going to say we're not going to issue it.
Tobacco sales business licenses?
Yes. Something that says we're not going to issue it anymore.
Because we can't have a specialty vape shop or a tobacco shop.
You cannot have a license to operate as one.
You can still sell tobacco, but you just can't be a specialty retailer.
Right. So with the emergency ruling from the state, the only groups that can sell flavored vape oil now are tobacco specialty retail, which we've zoned out. So we're saying we're not going to issue a tobacco specialty retail license to anyone. So if you want to comply with state law as Walmart requires, you can only sell unflavored vape oil. Now, Walmart's actually nationwide pulling them all off of their shelves, not just in Utah. All the Walmarts are. So Hart will only be able to sell unflavored vape oil.
One issue, though, is this is why I think Hart's is too close to the residents.
Yeah, I was going to say, which they don't qualify to now anyway.
They don't. They wouldn't qualify. But should something go maybe a little bit further away from parts, I mean, they could, in effect, possibly do this. So it's just tightening up that code.
What's the footage? How close?
600 feet to a resident.
Or so the state loosened their restrictions.
Or the state loosened it, yes. That could also. So yeah, it's measured from the entrance of the retail shop to the nearest property line. So you can see that's 400 feet.
And that'll be
really close when David Movie Homes goes in. However, there could be some grandfathering rules.
So Hart's and Walmart right now don't qualify their state guidance anyway, but as we all know, state laws do.
So really, we wanted to get this on an agenda to discuss it, even though I think it's highly likely that the applications will be committed on the show.
Yeah,
this is the biggest
concern. And this is my motivation. I feel like in the past, when it comes to land use decisions, We do something and then we don't look at it again, and then state law changes and we don't change, and then we're stuck doing something that we don't want to do because, you know, so I'm just trying to stay on top of the
That's good.
But it has to go to planning commission because it's tied to 10 ordinance.
Which time? Can I go over to the Cedar Canyon flag real fast?
Which
you guys had a chance to drive by today. They have a sign up now.
Yeah,
it's
awesome.
Picture of
David
Weekly
does, yeah.
Yeah, so that cell really kind of depends on our decision tonight. But I'm comfortable with what they're doing. I'm just finding a plot out here. I decided that it would be like a disconnect from the network.
Do we have a mile right here to sign?
I didn't bring it.
Well, we'll get it. We do one sign there. Let's see. I had it all pulled up here. Really good for the machine. Well, anyway, they have the Mylar. I'll go get the Mylar, bring it over. But basically, they're wanting to record the Mylar, record the plat, show all the addresses, show all the easements, They're not entering durability bond yet. They've posted, they've given me the documentation for the durability bond, and they've also given me the documentation for an additional bond for the construction improvements that I have that are still outstanding. That includes some sidewalk and some streetlights. So they're still doing that. Those are just on back order, but they're anticipating getting that done in the next few months. In good faith, we asked them to please bond for it.
So they opted originally to not post a bond. That's why they're doing it.
Yes. So that's why they're preparing the bond for those items that are still outstanding. Kevin Anderson, our assistant public works director, went and did a punch list today, and they've got a number of. They really reduced their amount of issues that they've got, and the ones that are outstanding are all being bonded. So what we're asking to do tonight is to allow the city to approve the plat to then go and get recorded with the city or the county. What that will allow them to do is to start issuing or start to submit building permits and get those plans reviewed. We anticipate next month in November that they will come to the council with the durability bond, accept that, and then go to durability for those public improvements. The only changes from the plat that was approved in the final Cedar Canyon to tonight is where the retention basin is. If you remember, where the city gave them basically half an acre in the retention basin, there was a Pleasant Grove Irrigation Company easement. That easement, they worked out an agreement with Pleasant Grove Irrigation Company that's been reported. I don't know about them today. Vacating that easement. And so that easement no longer being shown on the plat. And then they have some directional coordinates that change from east to west, and the legal description that was only changed to the plot, so they're pretty minor. We'll go get the Mylar and bring it over. Jeff, is there anything that you wanted to add to that, or anything you felt like it should be addressed?
I think the only thing is we're still waiting for the State Division of Water approval for the culinary water lines.
So this is to be able to deliver water to the actual site. We're confident in our ability to do that. The state wanted to do it. The state needs to do that. Kevin indicated to me today that there's a strong indication that that will come through by Friday.
Yes, our testing was successful. Got the results today, so hopefully we'll have that wrapped up.
That's quality and vacuum and stuff.
Yeah.
Is 4700 West and State closed during their construction? I can't
believe
that road
open. No, once it's, because right now it's private, so once that's approved and once it goes into durability, it becomes a public road.
Okay.
It becomes our road. So those barriers then come down and it becomes open. So getting the harvest just got a lot easier.
That is one of the items that's on their punch list. We need stop signs before we open that up to Cedar Hills Drive.
Yeah, that's the big one. Some of their street signs on like Lily Lane, it's cute of a name that is, and we want to see that sign. It doesn't need to be posted right now, but the stop sign needs to go up.
Gotcha. It would be easier and safer. And so many people loop around, like the left hand turning and come back.
They get creative.
So
yeah, that was the only thing I think
of. Go against traffic for that short little bit. Yeah. Bad news. So,
yes, that'll go. So we'll bring the, I'll get the mile and bring it over for signatures. Any other questions on that?
Okay, let's go ahead and adjourn then so you have time to run back. You want to make that motion?
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Motion by Councilor Ellsworth, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Councilor Miller, all those in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Is that for your office?
Okay.